The mere fact that she has the mental development which enabled her to progress to the sixth sphere will not help her in any degree to progress above it. As her soul develops, she will leave the sixth sphere and inhabit a sphere of soul education which is in unison with her development, and it may be the third only, but this sphere will enable her to make more rapid progress than if she should remain in the sixth, because of the reasons that your grandmother portrayed in her message. So do not be impressed with the thought that because a spirit is an ancient one, it can help you or instruct you in those things which pertain to your soul development. Of course, their mental qualities are developed to a high degree, and they can tell you many interesting things about the times in which they lived and of their experiences in the spirit world, but these things, while interesting, do not help you to attain to the divine kingdom. As regards this soul knowledge, they may be mere babes, and 125, totally devoid of all the things necessary for the soul development through divine love. I have many things yet to write about, and as we write you will see that I am the true Jesus, and that my knowledge of the Father's kingdom is the greatest possessed by any spirit, be he ancient or modern. I wish that I could write to you every night, but under present earthly conditions I cannot, because it might interfere with your life on earth. But, as I have told you, very soon you will be in the condition where I will have your services all to myself and my work. I will not write more tonight, but only say believe, and you will see the glories of the Father, and your own salvation and happiness. Your friend and brother, Jesus. June 4, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I am with you tonight as I heard you longing for me, and have come to comfort and bless you. My dear brother, you have the love of the Father in your soul to a great extent this night, and I see that you are very happy and feel that the Father is very near you. And I am so glad that your condition is such, for I want to tell you how much the love of the Father is waiting to bless you and make you at one with him and a true child of his affections. I am now prepared to give you my next formal message, and if you feel that you would like to take it tonight, I will do so. Well then, I will write on the subject, why man must receive this divine love in order to be admitted to the kingdom of heaven or celestial kingdom. In that kingdom there are no spirits who have not received this love, so that their natures are of the divine essence of the Father. I do not mean that any spirit is perfect in this divine nature, but that the spirit has so much of this divine love in his soul as to make him in unison with the nature of the Father. There are different degrees of perfection, or rather there are different degrees of possession of this love by the spirits, and their happiness and glory are dependent upon the amount of love possessed by them. No spirit though, who is an inhabitant of this kingdom, is without this divine love, and no spirit has in its soul any sin or error that may have been a part of it while in the earth life. All the spirits know that they are immortal, just as the Father is immortal, and this knowledge comes to them only from the possession of this. The Paget Messages 1915, love which is the divine essence that flowed into their souls from the great divine nature of the Father. Should anything in the soul not be in unison with the soul of the Father, that spirit could not possibly enter into that kingdom, and as the soul of such spirit remains in such condition of inharmony, it can never be received into the celestial kingdom. I know that among men, and spirits also, it is thought and asserted that the Father is all-merciful and all-good, and in his great plan for the salvation of men, and for establishing the harmony of his universe, no man or spirit will be excluded from his heavenly kingdom, but in this thought, mortals and spirits both are mistaken, and I am sorry to say that many of them will, when too late, realize this error. God has certain principles which are fixed and which are necessary for men to know and obey in order for them to become at one with him and partake of his divine nature, and if they fail to obey the requirements of these principles, they will forever be excluded from possessing that in their souls which will make them like the Father, and admit them to his kingdom. They, in such condition, or want of the qualifications, even though they were admitted to the kingdom, would not be happy, for their condition would wholly fail to respond to those things in the kingdom which give happiness to the true children of the Father, and they, of necessity, would be most unhappy, and heaven would not be a heaven to them. So you see, all spirits, in order to inhabit this kingdom, must have the prescribed requirements of soul love and soul development. As I said, when on earth, He that enters into the sheepfold in any other way than through the gate is a thief and a robber, and no thief or robber is fitted for this kingdom of divine love. Let man know that no mercy or love of the Father will be given him to enable him to enter this kingdom, unless that man seeks this love and this mercy in the way the Father has ordained that they shall be sought for. No special providence will be extended to any man, and if he comes to the marriage feast without his wedding garment, he will be cast out and not be permitted to enjoy the feast. Men may reason to the extent of all their reasoning powers to prove that the Father, being a loving and merciful Father, will not cast them out or keep them from entering this kingdom, because they are all his children and the objects of his love and favor, and that one is as dear to him as 126, the other, and that he is no respecter of persons, and, therefore, will treat all alike. But I tell them that they are mistaken, and if they wait until the great day when the sheep shall be separated from the goats, they will realize to their everlasting exclusion from this kingdom, that what I say is true. Of course, every spirit ever born is the object of the Father's care, and he makes no distinction between the spirits and mortals that he has created, and wants every one of them to inhabit his kingdom and partake of those things which he has provided for them, and which are beyond their conception in the greatness of the grandeur and beauty of these things. And he calls to all his creatures to come and partake of these great provisions that he has made for them, and no creature is refused the gift of these things, or heard to ask and not be answered with their bestowal. Yet, when that man or spirit who has this great boon, and the way shown by which he can receive these gifts, refuses or neglects to follow that way or to receive these gifts in the way ordained by the Father, then all these great gifts are withdrawn from him, and never, after the great day of separation, will he have the privilege of receiving them. And men cannot say that the Father is unjust or unmerciful or unloving because he forever, thereafter, shuts the door to these privileges or the opportunity of receiving them. Men have rejected his gift and neglected to search his plans for their great happiness, and, consequently, they will have no right to complain, when they, like the foolish virgins, find the door shut against them. So I say, men must realize the necessity of putting on the wedding garments and of filling their lamps with oil, in order to be admitted into the kingdom. I will not herein tell the way in which men must prepare themselves for an entrance into this kingdom of the Father, for it would take too long. But I will in the future message explain this fully, but I will say, before closing, that if men will pray to the Father for the inflowing into their souls of his divine love, and have faith, they will find themselves on the true way to become inhabitants of his kingdom. As it is late, I must stop writing, and with all my love and blessings and the blessings of the Father, will say good night. Your friend and brother, Jesus. The Paget Messages 1915. I am here, Helen. Well, sweetheart, you had a wonderful and vital message from Jesus, and you must study it, for it lies at the foundation of all the future happiness of men and spirits. Of course you know the way and will follow it, but there are so many men now living and who have lived, who will never see the kingdom of heaven or celestial kingdom. I am so glad that I have found this love which makes me a redeemed spirit, and I am just as glad that you have, and to think, all our band have, as well as many of the darkened spirits who have come to you for help. Have you ever thought of the greatness of the work that you are doing, and what the probable result will be to you as well as to them? Well, I am not able to tell you, but the Master says great will be your reward. Oh, my Ned, what a blessing it is that you have such a wonderful power given you as to be able to do this great work of love and salvation. With all my love and earnest prayers for your happiness that my soul can utter, I am your own true and loving, Helen. June 5, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I merely want to tell you tonight that you are so much better in your condition for writing my messages and for receiving the love of the Father in your soul. You took my message last night in a very satisfactory way, and I am pleased with the manner in which you caught my meaning. So very soon we will have another message, and a very important one. I am with you in your hours of lonesomeness, trying to help and comfort and lead you to the love of the Father. Tonight I will not write more, as I desire that another shall write, who will give you a message that will interest you very much. I mean your grandmother. She is a very capable spirit in discussing the things pertaining to the spirit. I mean those things which reveal to men the truths of the Father, as she has learned them and understands them. Not merely in a mental sense but in the way of her soul perceptions. So you will receive much benefit from what she may write, and you will realize that she is a wonderful spirit in the knowledge of all these things that tell of God's love, and of his care and mercy towards mankind. I will now, with my love and blessings and those of the Father, say good night. 127. Your brother and friend, Jesus. Well, my dear grandson, I am here and desire to write a while tonight about some things that are true, and show you the workings of God's love among men and spirits. I have had a great deal of experience, although I have not been in the spirit world a very long time, as we count time, which we do not, but I merely use the expression that you may understand what I mean. I am, as I told you, in the second celestial sphere, where your wife and mother also are. In this sphere, all the inhabitants are spirits who have been redeemed by the divine love and great mercy of the Father, and by the great gift of immortality which Jesus wrote you about the other night. I'm now so developed in my soul qualities that I realize that I am a part of the Father's divine nature, and that I have in me those qualities of his nature that make me immortal, and which immortality can nevermore be taken from me, and what I say applies to all the inhabitants of this sphere. Of course, you will understand there is yet more love which we may obtain, because our progress in the divine love never ceases, until we get into the very presence of the Father, and are able to see him with our soul perceptions. This phase you cannot possibly understand, as you are now, but when you come to the place where I am, you will, and it is even possible for you, in a way, to comprehend it while in the mortal life, but not to the extent that you will when you become a spirit and live in this sphere. Your mother and wife now have this quality of soul perception. But even among us there is a difference of comprehension of this, and I am told that as I progress higher and receive more of this love, this soul perception will become clearer and more satisfactory to me. So when you hear us say we are redeemed and have as our possession a part of the divine essence of the Father, you must understand that it is a comparative thing, and that we are not perfect, even the Master is not perfect, as God is perfect, so he tells us. But he is progressing in the acquisition of this love and in the increased power of this soul perception. Until we reach the first celestial spheres, we have not a sufficient quantity of this love to make us partakers of this divine nature of the Father to the degree that all the natural loves are absorbed by the divine love, for all below that sphere have, the Paget Messages 1915, more or less of the mere natural love, which causes them to retain their worldly affections. I mean those things which tend to retard their progress. Of course our natural love for our relatives or friends does not leave us even after we reach the celestial spheres, but when we become inhabitants of these spheres, we have no interest in the affairs of earth or its government. The seventh sphere is the one that divides those spirits who have merely intellectual or moral qualities which are developed, as it were, to the highest degree, from those spirits who, in addition to mental and moral development, have their souls developed by the divine love of the Father. No spirit who has not this love can become an inhabitant of the seventh sphere, so that when you hear of any of your spirit friends or acquaintances, or of any other spirits, being in the seventh sphere, you will know that these spirits have received the divine love to an extent a little short of that which enables them to enter the first celestial sphere and which makes them at one with the Father, and hence immortal. The sixth sphere is one where the mental and moral qualities are developed to their greatest extent, and it is not necessary for the spirit to have this soul development to any great extent in order to become an inhabitant of this sphere. In other words, it is a sphere which is given more especially to those spirits who have given more thought to the improvement of their minds and their moral qualities than to the development of their souls by obtaining the divine love of the Father. This sphere is one of great happiness for these spirits of mental and moral excellence, and it is the highest that they can attain to in their progression in the spirit world. Of course, these spirits may also receive this greater soul development, for the divine love is free and waiting for all of God's children, But my observation has been that when the spirits who find their happiness in purely mental pursuits or in the development of their moral natures, get into this sphere, they seldom become dissatisfied enough with their condition of happiness to desire or seek for a greater one. In fact, the majority of them will not believe that there is any greater happiness that they can attain to, and, hence, the deadening satisfaction which possesses them. I know it may be a little difficult for you to understand this matter as I have attempted to explain it, but what I have said is true, and in the day of separation these spirits will realize that fact, but then it will be too late to remedy their neglect. 128, or want of the soul, desire for the soul development, that comes only by the inflowing of the divine love into the soul in sufficient abundance, and which is necessary to permit them to become inhabitants of the celestial kingdom. Well, when a spirit enters the spirit world, its condition of mental, moral or spiritual development determines where it shall first live. In the large majority of cases, the first home of the spirit is the earth plane, and in that there are a number of planes, respectively higher or lower than others. So when the spirit finds itself in the earth plane, it also finds that its condition is not much different from what it was on earth. The same ideas of right and wrong, of beliefs, of affections and of desires obtain. Sometimes these conditions will last for many years, and again the change can come comparatively soon. This change of condition depends frequently upon the friends or relatives, who try to help and instruct them when they come over. If such spirit helpers are themselves developed in the line of intellectual pursuits, they will more naturally endeavor to direct the newly arrived spirit along the same line of thought and aspirations. And so with the morally developed helpers, they will make the questions of morality the important ones for the new spirits to give attention to. And so with the spiritual helpers, or those who have received the love of the Father in their souls, and to whom such love is the most important thing in all the spirit world, naturally they will endeavor to instruct the spirit in matters pertaining to this love and the increased development of it. So you see, much depends upon the helpers which the new spirit finds waiting its advent into the spirit world, and the instructions which such spirit helpers give it. But more will depend upon the condition of the spirit itself. As I have said, when it comes into the spirit world, it brings with it all its beliefs, desires and affections, and these respective qualities will, to a more or less extent, influence the directions of its progress. It is much easier to influence a spirit who has had, while on earth, awakened in him a love of God even to a small degree, to pursue the thoughts that will lead him into spiritual ways, than to persuade one who has never had that awakening. And so with the spirit who, while on earth, gave his studies and thoughts to mental pursuits, to the exclusion of thoughts relating to God or to religious matters, such spirits will naturally be attracted to those things which it considers a. The Paget Messages 1915, continuation of its earthly thoughts, or which will enable it to pursue the development of those thoughts, and consequently, they are its treasures which necessarily have the most of its affections, and from these affections will arise its desires which will, unless something greater intervenes, cause it to follow the course of these desires. And the same principles can be applied to every condition of the spirit, mental, moral or spiritual. Now, to the point of your question. Such spirit, following the natural inclination of its condition as I have explained, will endeavor in its progress, to get into that sphere where there are afforded the greatest opportunities for the development of the particular phase of its condition which constitutes its chief motive force. And this is in accordance with the spiritual law. The spirit desiring above all else the development of its mental qualities will naturally seek that sphere where these qualities have the greatest opportunity for such development. And so with the moralist and the spirit of religious thought. Now, God, in His great wisdom and goodness, has provided these several spheres and made them suited for the purposes of their creation, and all the spirits have the choice as to which they will enter and seek to live in. But, of course, not only one sphere of its kind is provided, but there are several so provided, so that there may be progression on the part of spirits who have these several phases of desires and attractions. The second, The fourth and the sixth spheres are appropriated for those spirits who have more of the qualifications and desires for advancement in their mental and moral pursuits, or rather for the development of those qualities possessed by them which pertain more to the mental and moral natures. Of course, in their progress from the lowest to the respective higher spheres that I have mentioned, the spirit must pass through the intervening spheres, but they do not linger in them or seek to make them their homes, or stay in them for their development, because in these intervening spheres the qualities which these spirits are attempting to develop are not given much attention, and these spirits would not be much benefited by remaining in these spheres. But the fact of passing through these intervening spheres does not indicate, for the contrary is true, that these spirits in so passing, in any degree, receive any additional love or development of their soul qualities. So that a spirit in the third sphere, 129, possessing the divine love, may have more soul development than one who lives in the sixth sphere who has not the divine love. And so in contrast to the second, fourth and sixth spheres, that I have named, the third, fifth and seventh spheres are the ones appropriated to and specially prepared for the spirits who are seeking the development of the divine love into their souls, and in these spheres, divine love is the great thing that is sought for and acquired. The spirits of these spheres may be just as highly developed in their mental and the moral qualities as are those before described, and, frequently, they are more so, for with a soul development in the divine love, strange as it may seem to you, comes mental and moral development. But this development of the mind is not the chief thing for which these spirits seek. Every desire and aspiration with them is subordinated to their great efforts to obtain this divine love to the highest degree, and ever are these spirits seeking for it, and they have never become satisfied, in contrast to those who merely seek the mental and natural love development. As I have said, beyond the sixth sphere, these merely mental or moral seekers cannot progress, unless they seek for the divine love, and in this sixth sphere the mind's happiness is reached. And the sixth sphere is a more prolific one of probation, in the sense that many of these spirits are awakened to the necessity of seeking this soul development, because after some of these spirits have been there for a long time, they commence to realize this limitation to their mental happiness. And, strange as it may seem to you, they frequently made their first start by calling up the recollections of their childhood days, when they were taught and believed that God loved them, and that His love was the greatest thing in all the world. So you see here illustrated, in a way you probably never have thought of, the saying of Jesus that, except ye become as little children ye can in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. But many of these spirits have no childhood recollections of this kind, and then comes the work of the higher spirits who have been redeemed by this great love of the Father. In all this you will see how God recognizes and respects the independent will of His creature. He does not force them to seek His love, but waits until they, by their own experience, learn that what they once thought was all sufficient for their happiness, is not sufficient, and realizing this, the Paget Messages 1915, insufficiency, they become dissatisfied, and with such dissatisfaction comes the wish to learn the great unknown of desire, which, at last, causes them to feel their dependence upon a source of happiness not emanating from themselves. And thus, my dear son, in my imperfect way, I have attempted to give you a description of the several spheres and their character and the object of their creation. You must believe what I have told you, for it is true, and in believing you will see the great advantage in striving to enter the spheres of the soul or the divine heavens, for in doing so, you will not only gain your soul's development but also the development of your mental qualities and your moral nature also. And thus you will understand the great saying of the Bible, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Well, I have written you a long letter and must stop. So with all the love of a devoted grandmother, I will say, good night, Anne Rollins, June 6, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I want to tell you, once and for all, that the Holy Ghost is not God and that the unpardonable sin is a thing which has no existence either in the world of mortals or in the spirit world. I never use the expression contained in the Bible in reference to the unpardonable sin, and it has done more harm to my cause than most any other thing. I was not conceived by the Holy Ghost as many believe. I was a man created and born as other men, only, as I have told you, I was without sin. All writings which make the Holy Spirit equal to the Father are untrue. The Holy Spirit, as I have told you, is a mere instrument of God in doing His work among men, and for men to believe that the Holy Spirit is God, is blasphemy. But even that sin will be forgiven men. I hope that before we get through our writings I will make it so plain and convincing that the Holy Spirit is not God, but a mere spirit, though the greatest spirit in His kingdom, that men will cease to worship it as God. I will write a formal message on this subject, and you will see that the Holy Spirit cannot possibly be God. So do not let this question interfere with your belief in me or in what I write to you. You are now in the way to truth and the kingdom, and if you will continue to pray and have 130 faith, you will become an inhabitant of that kingdom, no matter what the Bible may say, which is apparently in conflict with what I write. So with all my love, I will say good night. Your friend and brother, Jesus. June 7, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I want to write to you tonight about my birth and life up to the time of my public ministry. I was born in Bethlehem, as you know, in a manger, and when I was a few days old my parents took me to Egypt, in order to avoid the soldiers of Herod who were sent to destroy me, and who did kill a great number of male infants of less than 2 years of age. The Bible story of my birth and the flight of my parents and the murder of the innocents is substantially correct, and I only wished to add to it, that when my parents arrived in Bethlehem they were not compelled to seek the manger of a stable in order that I might be born, on account of poverty, for they were supplied with funds and everything that was needed to make my birth comfortable for my mother, and as a matter of fact my father was not poor in the world's goods as poverty was considered in those days. The Bible says the wise men came and brought offerings of gold and frankincense to my parents, or rather to me, but my parents have told me that it did not amount to so very much, so far as the money value of the same was concerned, and that their expenses of fleeing to Egypt was met by the funds that my father had prior to his reaching Bethlehem. After they arrived in Egypt my father sought the home of a Jew, who was his relative, and lived there for a long time, doing the work that his trade fitted him to do, and by his work supported the family, and to an extent, educated myself and my brothers and sisters, for I had 4 brothers and 3 sisters, and were all, except myself, born in Egypt. When I became of proper age, I attended the common school provided for small children, and was taught those things that had to do with the religion of the Jews, and some things that were not religious in their nature. I was never taught the philosophy of the Egyptians or of the other pagan philosophies, and when it is stated that I received my religious ideas or moral teachings from any of these philosophers, they are mistaken. The Paget Messages 1915, my education as to these matters of religion was derived from the teachings of the Old Testament, or rather from Jewish teachers whose textbook was the Old Testament. My development in the knowledge of the truths which I taught during my public ministry was caused by my inner spiritual faculties, and my teacher was God, who, through His angels and through my soul perceptions, caused to come to me those truths, or rather the knowledge of them, and in no other way did I obtain it. I was not born with a knowledge that I was the Son of God sent to earth to teach these great truths, or to announce to mankind the re-bestowal of the great gift of immortality, and the means of acquiring it. But this knowledge of my mission came to me after I became a man and had the frequent communions with God by my spiritual senses. I was never in the presence of the Jewish priests, expounding to them the law and asking questions when about 12 years of age, as stated in the Bible, and not before my first appearance, after I became a man, did I attempt to show priest or layman that I was the messenger of the Father, and sent by him to proclaim the glad tidings of immortality restored and of the great love of the Father which was necessary to make all men at one with him, and to give them a home in his kingdom. I never was a sinful boy or man, and did not know what sin was in my heart, and strange as it may seem, I never sought to teach others these truths until after my mission was declared by John the Baptist. In my boyhood days I was the same as other boys and engaged in the plays of childhood and had the feelings of a child, and never thought I was anything else than a child. In no wise was I different from other children, except in the particular that I have named, and any account of me to the contrary is untrue. My teachings were those that the Father had committed to me from the beginning, but which I was only conscious of after I became a close communicant of the Father, and learned from him my mission. So you must believe that I was a son of man as well as a son of God, and that in the literal sense.